It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. It's your connection to local music and more. We've got some Celtic music on the show at 8 o'clock tonight at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana in the old post office building. It's a joint presentation of the Piper's Hut Concert Series and the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. The group is called Kulrua. It's a trio of traditional Irish musicians. Paddy O'Brien plays button accordion, Patrick Orso plays fiddle, and Pat Egan guitar and vocals. And we've got two of their number with us on the show today to share music for the hour. I'm really looking forward to it. It's one of the better-known bands probably in the country for traditional Irish music. Hope you'll stay tuned to Live and Local. And that was fiddler Liz Carroll and guitarist Jim DeWan from last September's Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. There will be another one this coming September. And the CU Folk and Roots Festival are co-partners with the Piper's Hut Concert Series of a concert tonight at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana by Kulrua, which is a group that's been around. How long has the group been around, gentlemen? Pat Egan and Patrick Orso are with us from the group.
We're together now probably about 13, 14 years around that.
As the current trio?
As the current trio, we're probably about five.
Since 2003. 7 years. Current trio since about 2003. I think the first tour we did together was, I think I joined officially the band in October 2003, and I think the first tour we did together was in 2004. I think it was in March 2004 we did a little tour in the Midwest, actually, yeah. Okay. Mostly Michigan. It was a lot of gigs in Michigan, I remember.
So the original member is actually the one who's not with us today. Not he's feeling a little under the weather with your long tour, Paddy.
Yeah, Paddy is not feeling too good this morning. We've been tour. This is a back-to-back tour. I've been out with Paddy, and then Patrick came down and met up with us earlier in the week. So we've been kind of out and about, and this weather is a kind of getting to us. All this humidity is kind of like wearing us down.
Well, Paddy O'Brien is the button accordion player, and so you said the group's been around for about 13 years, so that's with him, and then there were a couple of other players.
That's right.
And then you joined at some point?
No, I'm one of the, I'm the original as
oh,
well.
Oh, you are the original.
Paddy
okay.
and myself are the originals. The original group was Paddy O'Brien and myself and Piper Michael Cooney. And then after Michael was with us for a couple of years, and then Timmy Britton was with us for a couple of years, and then Patrick.
Yeah, Tim Britton was on the Piper's Hut series, I think was the last concert they did, and he was on the show here.
Right,
which was,
yeah.
Which was a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Well, we might as well ask, because it's the inevitable question, where does the name come from? And I can, I can read about it, but tell the listeners why Kulrua, and I mean, why Kulrua?
Well, Kulrua is the name of a hunting hound that was belonging to Finn McCool, who was the leader of an old warrior group from Irish mythology called an Fine. And their big thing was, hunting was, of course, a big part of their social life. So one of his favorite hounds was called Kulrua, which is the Irish cool means back or behind. And Rua is the Irish for red, so it means red back.
And why name your band after a hound?
After a hound. Well, you would have to ask the one member that's not here.
You've never heard him say?
I think he was reading a book at the time about, about Finn McCool and stuff like that. And I think he came across the name and he kind of liked it. So we decided to go with that, and
that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's at the time, trying to get a name for a band sometimes, especially when you have a few people in the band, it's like, well, okay, I like this one, I like that one. So, usually, I think what happened in that case is we needed to get something going because we were getting a tour going. So Paddy had that in his head, and we just went with it.
And that was it.
That was it.
And it stuck.
And, well, stuck or not, it's
there. There it is. Well, I really enjoy a lot of different kinds of band names. We had one on a group here on Friday, a quartet that called itself the Galactic Cowboy Orchestra.
Wow.
Which was actually bluegrass. Yeah. Right. Sort of. Right. It was kind of bluegrass. New grass, I guess they called it.
Right, yeah. Right.
But that was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And your concerts are supposed to kind of represent the traditional Irish session, I guess, rather than, sit and, we're doing a concert now, right, and right. Sit down and be very formal about it. And right. Tell us a little bit about the session.
Well, the approach of playing together in the band, I think that they're trying to give to people a wide range, especially for audiences that don't really know, that would know the music as much, to give the audience a wider range of the type of dance tunes that be played in the music, so we're trying to cover everything from the bass, the big threes, the jigs, the reels, the hornpipe, but of course all those other type of dances, like the hop jigs. We'll play a few hop jigs. We'll play slip jigs. We'll play single jigs, for example, and we'll play polkas and occasional slides, and of course the singing, which is another very important part of it all, But then people who actually know the music as well get something out of it, in the sense that the music we play, both Paddy and myself, when it comes to the tunes, we've got a big share interest in the strong melodic structure of the music, and it's the development in interpretation in variations in tunes, and we actually play, we try to play very tightly together. There's a great work involved in putting settings of tunes together as well. If you know what I mean by settings.
Well, yeah, yeah, tell me.
The settings meaning, there are sort of relatively more common or classic ways of playing all the tunes in the music, in a sense. And then you have a few variations, some of them localized, some of them coming from specific musicians, And as well as, when you play the music, there's this whole approach into the playing of this music where you actually, you make a tune your own. Often you'll hear that, making a tune your own. And which means changing, adding variations or changing somewhat melodically the tune, trying to embellish it to your own sense, And you come up with new settings, new versions of the tunes, And we do a great deal of that, both personally and then in the context of the band. I think you could describe mainly, Paddy's, I could safely say that Paddy's approach to the music has been for a long time now all about that. It's been about the settings of the tunes, about developing special versions of for tunes, and collecting as well settings of tunes from various people.
Well, you can find his collections online, and of course he'd like to sell them, I'm sure.
That's right. But Paddy's actually, has put out, he's collected many, 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 many tunes over the years, and he's put them out. There's one collection now that he has with 500 tunes. He's actually, he first put it out as a tape collection. Of course, now it's on CD, so you can order it from him. It's the Paddy O'Brien Collection, I think it's called, simply, and it's a... I think there's something like 10 or 12 CDs, and Paddy plays each tune once or twice around, but then moves on to the next one. And I think that collection here has got 500 tunes.
And of course, people are welcome to pick that up. And
that's right. It's on the Cool Rule. It's available on the
Learn
Cool
all those.
Website.
Learn all those tunes themselves.
Yeah, it should take
every one
couple
of them.
Of weeks.
Yeah.
But the other thing that the band, getting back to the session aspect of it, right. A session is not just about necessarily just playing tune after tune, sets of tunes. It's the interaction with the people around you, the conversation, and also, talking about characters that were involved, where the tunes came from. And people kind of enjoy that because it gives them a connection that they wouldn't normally maybe get by just hearing the tune, hearing about maybe some character that where this tune came from, and it just puts a different perspective on things, I think.
Well, we'll try to give a little bit of the session feel in this short program today, starting with some music.
Lovely stuff. Well, we'll start off, we'll play a couple of jigs for you there. Two of my favorites. First one is an old tune called the Killavol Jig, and Killavol is a town in Sligo, and it's, I feel, really appropriate in a way. I was not thinking of that tune in that purpose because of what I'm going to say next, but there was a great man we lost there in the music last week, a great flute player by the name of Peter Horan. Mm. He was, I think Peter was in his 90s, you know, he lived a great full life, and he touched many people. He was an incredible character. It seemed like he could never die, you know. He had such incredible energy till the end. And then, of course, he's from that part of the country where Killavol is, in County Sligo. And after that, I like to play a tune that has a mystery kind of a name. There's still arguments over the meaning, the actual meaning of the title. It's called Fasten the Leg in Her.
Say that again?
Fasten the Leg in Her.
Fasten the Leg in her,
yeah. And so I remember one time I made a conversation at a festival with a bunch of musicians who were discussing all the possibilities, you know. And, you know, even somebody like, some people have actually interpreted a leg in as legging, you know. But there was an old guy, Mike Rafferty, great flute player, who says, no, you guys don't know anything about it. You need to have been on the farms, he said. It has to do with tying up the back leg of the cow, you know, for...
so they wouldn't kick.
Yeah, so they wouldn't kick, you know. But it's still today, many of us are. We don't quite know the full meaning of that tune.
So you're not sure you believe that last story.
I am not sure if that's so true. It just seems too simple. Maybe it is, but it seems too simple to me. Anyway, we tried those two tunes. Thank you.
Cool Rua, minus one, on Live and Local here on FM 90.9. Cool Rua, including the other one, hopefully, will be playing tonight at 8 o'clock at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center downtown Urbana. The two players we heard with us on the show just now, Pat Egan and Patrick Orso. Patrick, you know, I saw that you're born and raised in France, and then when I was talking to you just before the show, I'm thinking, but he sounds Irish. And now listening to you talk, like, well, okay, I can sort of hear French, but I can hear Irish, and you moved to New York City, and now you're in Toronto,
That's right.
and you play all this Irish music and hang out with these Irish players. Does that sort of explain why if somebody were paid That's... to tell where you were from, they probably couldn't do it?
That's all of me, in fact, yeah. I was introduced to the music in France growing up, and well, to make the story short, I was introduced to it and kind of encouraged to play it through a friend of mine at school and going at their parents, his parents' house. They were playing a bit of French, mostly French music, and they got introduced to Irish music and started building up a huge collection of recordings at the house, and basically I fell in love with it. And I think my first instrument playing the music was the tin whistle, in fact, with my young friend. I was about 12 or so, and then we started learning tunes off LPs together. And I think for me it was great to have somebody my own age, and then we got his brother involved. So the three of us kind of were a strong little gang playing tunes, you know. If I'd been on my own, I think I would have given it up, I think, eventually, you know. But the fact that we were together kept us going, you know, and kept me going for sure, you know.
I wouldn't think it would be a whole lot of fun or terribly fulfilling to just play Irish music by yourself.
No, exactly.
It's kind of not the point, is it?
Not really the point, no. So then I started traveling to Ireland, of course. I met, first before that, in France, musicians that were seriously involved in the music. And then started traveling to Ireland. I moved on to the fiddle earlier on then, and of course. And then started traveling to Ireland, where I got to meet a lot of kids my own age playing the music, which was really important as well for me, you know.
So this was how old?
I was about, my first trip, I was 17, 18 when I was took my first trip to Ireland. And then eventually my life brought me to New York, and I lived there. New York is one of the great center of Irish music in America, you know, there's no question. You know, New York, Boston and Chicago would be three really, really important places for the music on this continent, you know. Especially at the time when I lived in New York, I had access to so many, you know, so many of the older generation of players, great players, were still around and still going out playing and all. So I've got, by just hanging out, osmosis, just learned a lot about tunes, learned a lot of tunes, of course, but a lot about the music, the spirit of the music as well, especially from a few specific players. There's a great man in New York, Jack Cohen, flute player from East Galway, that was definitely a big influence on my music, on my approach to the music as well, you know. That notion of settings and tunes, etc. Jack was a man who was really peculiar, like, you know, specific about his tunes and how he played them and etc. And how he passed them on. The importance of remembering, you know, there's an original setting in a tune, you know. And there's still stuff that confuses me in the music, you know, to this day. You know, I love this. Often you talk with the older generation of players, you have this notion of playing the music right, you know, doing it right. But of course, there are more than one way of doing it right, and there's a wrong way, you know what I mean? And it's always about trying to find, you know, trying to define that. I always found it really difficult, you know? I mean, I'm used to it now. I think, I think I'm okay, but, like, you know, it's always really interesting. It keeps you on your toes a little bit, you know?
So there are various right ways, but there are also various wrong ways.
That's right, yeah. Well, essentially, there's the wrong way category.
There's a wrong way.
That's a wrong way.
It depends
way.
On who you talk to.
But of
I'm
course,
sure
then
it
that's
does.
It, of course.
Well, as you're talking about settings, you know, mm-hmm. if there's an original, does anybody really know? I mean, can anybody know what the original tune was?
Actually, it's in the case of some, you know, a lot of this music was not, you know, a great deal of the music we play was actually composed in the last 80 to 100 years, you know. Many of the tunes played in the music today were composed in that time frame, you know. Of course, the tunes that date back, you know, much further, much older, you know, but a great deal of them were composed by local musicians in the last, even some of them in the last 50 or 60 years, you know. Great classic tunes that people have been playing. Jack Cohen, in fact, knew many of the composers of those great tunes that have become great classics in the music. He knew a good few in from his part of the country, you know. And actually, he got a lot of the original settings from those guys, you know.
So at what point does a classic tune go through various settings mm-hmm. or variations
yeah.
and then suddenly become another tune?
Yeah, that's a very good...
when it's not, you know, can't you can't call it the original tune anymore.
No, but a tune, that's the thing, is because that's why I use the word classic as well. I like the word classic in this music better than the word standard, which you find in other music, you know. And I think the word standard can be misleading in regards to the music, in the sense that there is not one standard setting of playing the tune. You know what I mean? There's a lot of various settings, and the tune itself stays a classic. If you know, you know what I'm saying? The tune stays a classic, you know? But it might be played slightly differently all across Ireland, various places in North America, of course. And then a tune can go through, like really drastic changes. You're like, oh my God, I don't recognize the tune anymore, you know?
And then you have to give it another name.
And you almost, yeah. So occasionally, you know, there's that kind of gray area again where some tunes get lost. And they sound like is this, you know, people are trying to trace them, and you're not necessarily able to really do that tracing. Is it that the same as that tune, a different setting of that tune, or is it a cousin of that tune? It was another tune altogether that just resembled this one, you know, this one tune a lot. So yeah, but that's part of the fun. It's part of that. Chief O'Neill in Chicago wrote a book called it. You know, he called it Irish Music, a Fascinating Hobby, and I love that. I love that description of the music in a way, you know, that tracing, all that many musicians partake in that tracing of tunes, of learning repertoire, learning the stories of where the tunes come from, etc. All of those layers there, you know. And I love the way he described it as being a fascinating hobby, you know.
Isn't it true also that some tunes have more than one name?
That's right.
Just to make things
even more complex.
More confusing.
Yeah, that's right.
Complex.
Yeah.
Complex or confusing, depending upon where you come. I mean, from mm-hmm. my point of view, as somebody who doesn't play,
right.
it's just confusing.
I think, you know, that's the thing, something in a way you can really, really often, you can still trace an original setting of almost of a tune. You can still trace the original name of a tune, you know. There's a great tune. I won't play it now, but the Earl's Chair, actually, Jack Cohen told me the story. It's a well-known tune in the music, you know, but Jack Cohen told me the original title was supposed to be between the two Derry Ubers, which is two Derry Ubers with two townlands in East Galway. But because your man who composed it, Jack Hocklin who composed it? Paddy Maloney, I think was his name, flute player, was walking down through woods and the paths, you know, and the tune came up to his head. That's basically how the story goes, you know. And of course, that path and those, you know, are between, you know, between those two townlands, Derry Uber West and Derry Uber Commons. And that's what he thought he was going to call it. Of course, all the local musicians loved the tune, but thought the name was crazy, you know, that nobody could really remember it. So they named it after a place, a very important place, a stone that was in the middle of the local forest there.
A stone?
A huge stone, which the local landlord used to actually, during a hunting season, would use as a viewpoint of the whole chase and hunt. And he would actually have his lunch there. You know, he would be sitting, and locally it was known as the Earl's Chair, and that's how. Because the tune came up with him being around that area, everybody thought it would be maybe a better, more appropriate name, you know, calling it the Earl's Chair.
Earl's Chair. Well, that sounds better.
It sounds a lot better than
that's
down
great.
Between
that's
the two
name.
Derry Ubers.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, it calls out for the story.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed in your website, you know, you talk about in the sessions where, you know, a lot of the time is spent telling stories about the various tunes. And so not only do you need to know the tune and the particular setting, but you need to know the story,
at least
if you're going to be an interesting raconteur of some kind or another. Well, you're listening to Alive and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is supported today in part by World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods. on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with a wide array of foods from around the world, including cheeses, olives, spices, hot sauces, olive oils, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And we're talking with Patrick Orso and Pat Egan of Cool Rua, who are going to be at the Urbana-Champaign Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock, a joint venture of the Piper's Hut Concert Series, which has traditional Irish concerts throughout the year, and also the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is coming up the weekend of September 23rd. Let's have some more music.
Okay. Can you do a song, Ben?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll do a song this time round. I suppose, like the tunes, I hunt down the songs and that, and I don't particularly keep myself to, you know, old or traditional songs as such. I kind of... songs that appeal to me that I think fit within the tradition. I kind of introduce them into the band and stuff like that. And there's a songwriter from Dublin by the name of Mick Fitzgerald, who's a great, just a great songwriter. And Mick was very much involved in the traditional scene around Dublin for a number of years. And he actually played in a band called the Wild Geese. They were pretty well known around the early 80s. But anyway, Mick is an incredible songwriter, a great storyteller. I love songs with stories, and this is a song called Asha, Asha, and that particular title comes from a nursery rhyme, Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down. And the song itself is actually a song of immigration from the point of view of a woman who has immigrated from a small village in Ireland to Brooklyn in New York, where she's in an apartment there, and she's reminiscing as she's waiting for a phone call from home, and she's reminiscing about the village that she left, where in a lot of cases, you know, in rural Ireland, particularly in the 60s and early 70s, there might be just one phone. People didn't have phones in the houses, you know, and so there'd be one phone in the village, and people, you know, would wait there in the evenings for loved ones to call from various parts of, you know, the globe, wherever they might have immigrated from. And so she's reminiscing about that, and here she is on the other side of the situation. She's in Brooklyn and they're phoning her. So it's just an interesting twist on a sort of an immigration song, if you like.
There is a small house at the end of the lane, in an old photograph, the edge of a frame. When she closes her eyes, she's back there again, and people have been calling. And down by the lower street, there flows a mill stream, where old people walked, the lovers did dream. Where she ran with her sisters around the fair green, till night came slowly falling. And she saw the roses waving at the window. It seemed like yesterday. The snow on the ground and the stars at night, they were there just to hold her. Asha, Asha, we all fell down. From a window in Brooklyn, she looks down on the street at the cars and the people, the smoke and the heat. And a scratchy old record plays Grolgama Creek, and the telephone is ringing. And a faraway voice tells her all about the rain from the telephone box at the end of the lane. And just for one moment she can taste it again. She can feel a slinging. And she saw the roses waving at the window. It seemed like yesterday, but the snow on the ground and the stars at night. They were there just to hold you, Asha, Asha. We all fell down. Waving at the window, it seemed like yesterday. The snow on the ground and the stars at night were there just to hold her, Asha, Asha. We all fell down, Asha, Asha.
Pat Egan on vocal and guitar with Patrick Orso on the piano. I don't know where that just came from.
A man of many talents.
Yeah, especially to make a piano sound like that is incredible.
It's really amazing.
Usually it's a percussive instrument. You know, I have always had a lot of trouble focusing in on words of song.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to there, and then I did my usual thing and lost it. But
right.
I almost felt like it didn't matter because the emotional quality that you invest in that with your voice is, you know, I felt like it went right to the story that you told beforehand, I mean, which was already a nostalgic sort of touching story. And, anyway, that was beautifully done.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, I feel like that sometimes with songs. You know, I have friends who can't turn on the radio, but they sing with everything that's going through. You know, especially these radio stations that plays oldies. You know, and they did different eras, like the 70s or the 80s, and they just sing everything. And I just go, well, I remember that song, but for the life of me, I couldn't sing it. And when I sometimes with songs, something will grab me. I know there's something in there. In that song, but if you ask me after listening to what were the words of that song, I'd go, I just remember a line or something, but the sentiment of the song comes true, I think, very strong, and then, you know, it makes me go back and investigate it. So I suppose, you know, I think there are people who kind of just sense something in a song without actually, if you like, paying really close attention to what's going on there. And I think that's a sign of a good song in a way, you know, if it appeals to you in that from that aspect, it kind of gets you into it, you know, the story or the sentiment or something like that.
I would have figured that somebody who sings songs a lot would just easily remember words, but I guess only if it grabs you in some way.
Well, I'm definitely with me. The song really has to appeal to me. You know, people ask me to sing songs that are well known in the Irish scene, and it's not that I don't like them or anything, but they don't sit with me, you know. So I choose not to sing them because I feel I can't really do them justice.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's like buying, I suppose, a new suit or something, you know. If it looks good and feels well on you, you know, well, then that's nice. But so songs are kind of like that. It's a kind of, they have to be, I like stories, you know, and there's a great story in a couple of verses right there. And, you know, and I could immediately feel that story. You know, it's like, you know, when you're reading a book or something, you find yourself, you don't think you're reading, you're thinking you're kind of watching a movie or something. And I feel like that with songs. I feel it's like a little short movie or a clip or something going on.
Do you write songs?
I don't know. I've added little bits and pieces here and there to things, and I've taken some poems and put, like, you know, music to them, you know. Poetry gets lost a lot because, you know, it's like how many people like buy books of poetry and, you know, can remember them all, you know, and if you put a melody to them, it's like kind of the Dylan thing, I suppose. More people get to hear it. And so some poems that appeal to me, I will kind of try and If I can find a meter in them, and I'll put something to them and get them out there maybe.
When we were, when Patrick was talking earlier about tunes and settings and so on, it occurred to me that to ask that for you as a guitarist, mm-hmm. how much do you have to know the intricate details of the melody, since you almost never play the melody?
Yeah, well, I don't, and it's a kind of, you know, there's many schools of thought, and you know, I know that the lads, because they play the tunes, you know, and with variations, and it's just true. If you like living with these fellas for years, that I've really gotten an in-depth thing of what the tunes is all about and variations and, you know, what people are doing. I wouldn't hear it. I would hear like what I think most people hear is just like a straight melody, you know, and it moves up and down. But like what's going on in between. But just from kind of listening to the lads talking in the car and talking about tunes and variations, I've kind of gotten more into it. I don't play tunes in any shape or form. You know, I just approach it completely from a chordal perspective and percussion attitude. And so I rely on the lads to kind of like help me out every now and again. So, and they're great about it. So in a sense, and I don't know whether this is right or wrong, a lot of people will say, well, if you don't play the tune, you shouldn't really be kind of at this thing. But I think, you know, I think there's a certain advantage from coming from where I'm coming. I don't know, you know, that maybe I'm just a kind of covering for myself. I don't know. But I certainly come at it from a different perspective, because a lot of people will say it's strange that you don't play the tunes. You know, you're listening to so much and you just back them. But I do enjoy backing them, and I do enjoy a good tune. And you know, I've gotten to the stage where, you know, I can hear them. But I have to kind of know them in my head. You know, it's like if Patrick decided to play some tune I had not heard before, I'd prefer just to sit out. I might be able to kind of like, you know, muffle along through it and not sound maybe too bad. But suddenly you hit something that, and it's, you know, you don't hit the right chord or, you know, go to the right place, and it certainly doesn't make it attractive, you know. My whole thing is just to kind of keep the rhythm of it going. And just hope, you know, get some nice chords in there, not interfere and remain underneath a little bit, but just keep the whole machine going, if you like.
Well, of course, the drummer doesn't have to know the tune either in this kind of a band or any other kind of band.
Yeah, but you know, the subtleties of the tune, the way they go up and down, like it is almost like, I think, and there's a kind of an internal rhythm that goes on in tunes. I mean, there's jigs and reels and they have their set timing, but the tune themselves, you know, and you listen to the nuances that go on, you know, notes, you know, if a note is held or something like that, and you know there's space, you know, and kind of being aware of that. And I think that's what makes a good drummer is, you know, it's not just, okay, this is 3-4 and you just keep the 3-4. It's like, you know, knowing the tune and knowing the song or whatever it might be playing along with, and be able to kind of follow that. That's what makes for a good musician, particularly a backup musician, I think that's you know, and the whole chordal system that goes on, you know, the whole mode of Irish music, you know, and find the right thing. Like a jazz guitar player will know all the theory that's involved in keys and stuff, but yet you put them down with folk music, it's such a whole different kind of way of thinking, you know. And even though he may be playing all the proper chords that are in that particular mode or key, you know, he'll hit some chords that just, you know, it just won't work with that particular melody or whatever, you know. So it's kind of living with it, really. It's like any music, I suppose.
How many hearings would it take, you know, if Patrick did launch into a new tune, how many hearings would it take for you to...
It would depend on the tune itself. You know, some tunes are definitely... Like, Patrick has got some amazing settings of tunes, you know, and Patrick is very sensitive about the whole thing, as is Paddy. And Paddy has some... Like, there's one player, musician that... Tommy Potts, for instance, who had, you know, totally, I suppose, revolutionized would be the right word, you know, his settings of tunes, where the chordal thing is just totally different, you know. I mean, it's not just, this is in G and it just goes, you know, G, C, D, maybe minors or something, but it can change in the middle, you know, it can change keys, go into a different mode for one phrase or for one part of a tune. So, you know, for me to really get to know the tune, I prefer to live with it for a while. You know, I'm not fast at picking up So I like to be able to live with it for a little while. But if I'm in a session or something, you know, second time round, I should be getting a little bit, you know, at least I'm not going to, it shouldn't be, you know. But then there'll be times, you know, the lads will look over and go, you keep hitting that car there, why?
Maybe you should sit out for a little longer.
Maybe you should just kind of go to the bar and get us a drink.
Like, we're not that bad, we must stop now.
But no, I mean, it's the good thing about playing as the two boys is you know, it's a nice feeling. You don't feel like the pressure, you know, there's not pressure, which, you know, and there shouldn't be pressure about the music. So I you know, I get to make my mistakes so long as I kind of, like, you know, correct them and realize what's going on. So it's been great. And I think over the years, it's gotten a little better and better, you know, it kind of, you, the more you hear it. I mean, Patrick has, you know, his style. And plus the tunes that he chooses to learn in the settings, you know, it's not just a straightforward thing. So, you know, I know that, you know, I never expect it to be kind of fairly straightforward. And, you know, there's something going to come in there. So you have to really listen, basically.
So for the shows, you stick to the ones that you all know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because, I mean, it's, you know, it's comfortable for us and it's more enjoyable. Because, you know, when you get to know a tune, for me, when I do get a tune down, then I can do more, you know, I can move around a bit more, I can get out of maybe just playing the standard, you know, straightforward, easy kind of thinking thing and start moving around the guitar, maybe find nicer chord, a nicer version of a chord to go with that tune or something.
And putting your own stamp on it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
So that the Cool Rua version of the tune is what you all three come up with together.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, let's have another tune or song or...
You know, one thing we didn't talk about, I talked about all the varieties of stuff that we like to play, sort of present on stage when we play. One thing we haven't talked about is the slow airs. We often, Paddy, myself, we'll in turn in a concert, you know, we'll each have we'll play an air, or one of us anyway, you know. So I thought it'd be great maybe if I played an air just on the fiddle there.
Sure.
This is an old one called The Dear Irish Boy. And it's a... It's one of the well-known airs in the tradition. The tradition of air playing now is complex. There's links to the great songs that used to be sung in Irish, and basically we play the melodies of them. You know, there's in the interpretation, there's even a notion of kind of at times imitating the human voice in the phrasing and of the air, et cetera, et cetera. You know, and ornamenting as well. And it goes even further, you know. There's beautiful air playing in the southwest of Ireland, in Kerry and Cork. Beautiful way, often almost imitating, in using runs, imitating the harp and in the playing, you know, in interpreting the pieces. But anyway, this one is one of the big ones. I always think of Bobby Casey, one of the great fiddle players from West Clare. He used to play that tune. That's kind of more or less his setting of that air.
And it's called?
The Dear Irish Boy.
Oh, you said that's right. Yeah. You did say that. There's really special beauty about the solo airs.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And Lawrence Nugent. Lawrence yeah. Nugent was here. Did he actually do the show? I heard him do a show. He didn't actually come on here, but I, you know, listening to him do some of the slow airs, mm-hmm. just the solo flute is a beautiful thing as well.
Yeah.
A Dear Irish Boy, played by Patrick Orso, one of the three members of Cool Rua, the Irish group that's going to be at the Independent Media Center in downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. And I hope you can go out to hear them. You can get tickets. I don't know if you can still get tickets on the website or not, but you can certainly look at the website and it'll mm-hmm. tell you what to do. Pipers-Hut.com. It's a joint concert co-sponsored by Piper's Hut and the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival. I didn't bring the page that tells me where else you could get those tickets, but you can certainly show up there. It's a pretty small setting, but not overly small, so it should be a nice, it's intimate enough. But they still got plenty of chairs.
That's great.
Our program today is made possible in part by Kranert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to explore the newly announced 2010-2011 season. Tickets are on sale now. More information can be found at kranertcenter.com. On tomorrow's Live and Local, we're going to have a bossa nova band. I guess they're mostly bossa nova, Brazilian music, local to Urbana-Champaign, called Desafinado. Many of you have probably heard of them. And they'll be on the show tomorrow from 12 to 1 here on Live and Local. And then we'll be hearing a combination of best-of shows for a number of days, and Roger Cooper's going to co-host some of the shows. I'm going to be off for a couple of weeks on a staycation. I'm unfortunately having to call it. Not quite a vacation, but that'll be all right. We'll bring some highlights to you, and it'll be fun for Roger to sit in on this program. It'll be the first we've had a guest host. Something else.
Sure. Come for a few more tunes?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll do that. Let me see now. I'll play a few reels there for you. We'll do that. First one is an old tune called The Humours of Castle Finn. And I remember, normally it's played in another key altogether, but I remember a few years back playing it with a friend of mine who was stuck. He had an accordion player, and he was his accordion broke down on him. He needed to be fixed. And so he had another one in the wrong tuning altogether, but he could play it, and he was trying to figure out a few the tunes that we could play together in that other tuning. And that's what we. This is one that we did. So that's the Humours of Castle Finn, a whole step down. So, and I'll follow that after that with a second reel, beautiful tune that I associate with a great man. I had a chance of learning a lot of music from great Paddy Kenny, a fiddle player from East Clare. And this is going to be setting off the old bush. So we'll play those two tunes there. Thank you.
Patty Grosso and Pat Egan here on Live and Local. You know, I just noticed in your biography, Pat, that you've been doing some old-time music.
Yeah, a little bit. I just fell in love with it. You know, when I came over, I hadn't heard old-time music until I got to the States. And I lived in St. Louis, Missouri for a while. And, of course, there's a great old-time scene there. And I was in Asheville, North Carolina for a little while, and there's a fantastic scene there as well. And I just fell in love with the old-time banjo. There's something so earthy about it. And I was lucky enough to hook up with a couple of people who didn't mind me strumming along, you know. And so I got into a little bit of that. And, you know, there is similarities, even though, you know, they're both separate traditions, really. You know, it's like in Irish tradition we have, you know, people have their way of playing the tune, and it's the same with the old time. But, you know, I just fell in love with it. In actual fact, you know, when I get finished this tour now, I'll be getting together with some old friends, Alex Caton and Joe Fallon, who's they're great musicians, old-timey players, and be doing a show with them. But it's a mixture of old-time and Irish stuff, you know. We do a little crossover kind of thing.
Well, I've heard it said that all old-time music goes back to Ireland anyway.
Well,
it's a big Scottish. That's true or not, but
yeah. Well, there is, you know, the influence of the Scots and the Irish, and you know, of course the Africans, you know, they kind of got the banjo situation going in that, and a whole mix of that together kind of developed. But there is similarities, you know, and even some tunes, you know, that definitely can trace back to the tradition, Irish tradition and stuff.
Well, it's been interesting to me just doing this show. Every once in a while, we'll, you know, have different instruments that I haven't seen before, and of course I've seen the lute, but then hearing that the lute and then a couple of Japanese instruments, I kept hearing that all these instruments trace themselves back to the Middle East, Iran, mm-hmm. for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I thought, oh, really? This
yeah.
is learning some new things. So yeah. Who knows where it all originated?
There you go. That's right. Exactly, yeah.
Somewhere or another.
Yeah.
Well, already the hour is upon us, and coming up in just a couple of minutes, we've got the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor, and then we'll come back to classical music for you at 106. This is Live and Local, and our show today is supported in part by the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704 or at thecorkscrew.com. And want to tell you once more that Cool Rua will be at the Independent Media Center downtown Urbana tonight at 8 o'clock. And for more information, you can go to pipers-hut.com. And I'm sorry, I don't have the page that would tell me whether you can still get tickets on that site or not. Usually you can. In any event, the doors are expected to open about 7:15. So if you don't have a ticket, well, get early. Well, here it says. Hold on. Tickets sold online will be available the night of the show at a will call booth or at the door, depending on the venue. So you can still go and get tickets at the door. It's been a pleasure to have you guys on here, Patrick Rousseau and Pat Egan.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's been lovely.
For having us.
Yeah. Hopefully, Patty O'Brien will be feeling fine for tonight's show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
He's
fine.
He just needs the rest. He just needs
the
rest up. And
yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a long tour you're on.
Yeah. Well, as I said, you know, before even Patrick came with us, Patty and myself have been out for a couple of weeks rambling around, hitting all the hot spots down south.
And now you're in the hot spot of Urbana-Champaign.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tonight it's a nice concert series that Dean Karas runs with the
Piper. Yeah, Dean is great. Yeah, he really is great. And he just keeps putting these things on and getting them going and getting more out. So.
Well, I know he's got some other scheduled. Again, I didn't bring that page either. There's another next one coming up in October. He might even sneak in another one between now and then. And do keep on the lookout for the Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots Festival, which is going to take place in and around downtown Urbana the weekend of September the 23rd. And we'll certainly be featuring a lot of those artists on this show.